Stick around for the third segment. Colleen Holden joins the show. Our Biv and Second Look producer tries her hand at some sports. She's laughing over there because I was doing my dance to the funky music. But we're going to talk first about some MLB postseason drama. Now, they decided to change the MLB postseason series length for the wild card to a 3-game set, Ben Hootie. And for all four series, for the first time, and I think, I want to say, like, what was the stat? Like, it was the first time in decades that all four series that were currently going on ended on the same day or something like that. Hmm. Yesterday, all four wildcard series ended 2-0 for the Twins, Rangers, Diamondbacks, and Red October Philadelphia Phillies, my personal favorite going into the playoffs because, of course, the Chicago Cubs left it all at the doorstep. Ben, take it away. What did you see in the first couple of games?
I saw a lot of really good baseball played by some of these teams, especially the ones that won. Texas just kind of went into Tampa. Did their thing, dominated. Minnesota, that was a lot of fun to watch. And it was more the fact that Toronto just could not hit, man. They could not hit with runners in scoring position for the mm-hmm. life of them. Obviously, we all saw the clip yesterday of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. falling asleep at second base and just an absolute awesome executed play by Sonny Gray and Carlos Correa getting him picked off there. Diamondbacks, we thought they were going to be all roughed up, and their bullpen kind of – their bullpen shoved the entire way mm-hmm. and – sweeping Milwaukee in Milwaukee was pretty impressive. So a lot of good baseball, and I think these division series are going to be even better.
Yeah, Braden, you and I were texting yesterday. I mean, I guess we all were in our WZND group chat yeah. about some of the thoughts behind the Blue Jays in there and what ended up being a deciding game two where they got swept in that specific series. I mean, it's hard to beat that Twins pitching staff, but it felt like the Blue Jays did a few things wrong on the management side in that series specifically. I feel like that game should definitely have been a game three today.
Very mismanaged, and I think that's part of the reason why that was the only series that I did not have going the correct way. I just felt like the Blue Jays tried to go big brain mode, and it was just, it doesn't work. It didn't work for the Rays. It didn't work. It's just like, stop overthinking things just because it's the playoffs.
Right.
Ultimately, you still have a bullpen. I know everyone wants to take away the narrative that you have in the regular season of you need to work a bullpen knowing that you're playing a bunch of games after that and just every single game matters and you're only managing one game at a time. Sometimes it takes a little bit a more big picture thinking than that, because otherwise you get terrible decisions like that where you take a starter that is rolling out of the game to bring in a loogie for three outs. And like, what are you doing? Everyone in the stadium knew that was a terrible idea except mm-hmm. for the manager. And it goes back to bite them because, the offense was also just horrendous in that whole series, and they've been hyped up to be this really big thing. Guerrero's been hyped up to be a superstar. Bo Bichette or Bobby Shea or whatever A-Rod wants to call him now. This has been a hyped up roster and team for like 3 years now, and every single one of those 3 years they found a way to disappoint in a new way. And in this time, it's because their offense never shows up and their bullpen's mismanaged. It kind of makes me feel like the Cardinals are back in the postseason, you know?
Atlanta, 231 runs above the run differential this season. By far, on paper, the hottest offense left in this playoff bracket. But they have to face the former NL champs in the Philadelphia Phillies. And that series not only was over quick, the Phillies offense looked powerful. And I think they're going to give Atlanta a run for their money on that side of the bracket.
I saw something today that Jeff Passan talked to players from the Diamondbacks, and he said, thank God we did not have to go to Philly. And that's exactly what it is. When you go to Philly for the postseason, it is an SEC football stadium. You want to stay out of there because it is a scary place to play, not only because of how loud it gets, because those fans and are just crazy, and the players feed off of that. I think this could might be better than the World Series, Atlanta and Philly for 5 games. I can't wait to see where this goes. Obviously, it was electric last year seeing I think the Phillies ended up winning in 4 last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, the Phillies are just that team now that just feels like, you know, after cruising past the Marlins, it feels like yet again, here we are with Philadelphia where they were kind of doubted all year. They were right behind Atlanta all season long. And now, once again, that Phillies lineup just shows up in October. The pitching shows up well. They got great pitchers. I think they could give Atlanta a run for their money. I'm not going to say they win it necessarily, because I think it's just going to be such a great series of great baseball.
You know, there's something to be said about maybe too much rest for teams that have a bye in the first round. And, you know, if you have a series going to three games in the wild card versus a team that's had a week off or whatever, it kind of evens out. You got a team that's had a while since they've been playing versus a team that probably used a lot of their bullpen and taxed their arms. All four of these series are really quick series. No one really had to go too far into their arms or bullpen. Even this Texas Rangers squad, that their back half of their bullpen is really their struggle that they've tried to work on. Even they didn't have to go too much into their pen. So all of these teams are in really, really good shape. And going up against these teams that, yeah, they had first round buys, and yeah, they're supposed to be better. But it's been a little bit since they've played, so we'll see if they're maybe a little bit rusty.
I think for the Braves' sake in that argument, I mean, I think us Cubs fans know more than anyone that despite the fact that the Braves have clinched a playoff spot for the last month, they did not take their foot off the gas. Mm. They were still playing their lineup. They were still looking to win every game. They won over 100 games. Trust me, it sucked from a Cubs fan perspective because all we needed was some wins, and it just – you're still going extra innings, and you're still seeing Acuna pull the base out of second because he's so excited for his 70th steal, which all in good fun. But as we talked about on the show weeks ago, I think Atlanta is better suited than plenty of teams that have, you know, kind of phoned it in when they do so well in the regular season. They know their position already. They seem to have kept their foot in the gas. I think that series is going to be powerful from day one. I'm still going Philly because I just like to root for the Phillies. That's just my bottom line. I think the Braves probably have the upper hand. I just think Philly's an incredibly likable team. I saw a great tweet today that was talking about, you know, for whatever reason, especially in the Nationals, Bryce Harper had this, you know, bad boy rep. People mm-hmm. didn't really like him. He was a crybaby, all this nonsense. And now he's the captain, or at least spiritual captain, of quite possibly the most likable team in the game, in a city that's never really been likable when it comes to sports fandom. I mean, you don't particularly hear people saying, oh yeah, you know, the most friendly sports city in America is Philadelphia. And that's not a knock on them by any means. They're just passionate. So are we in Chicago. But they are probably the most likable team left in the bracket, led by somebody who was at one time conceived as not likable, which is an awesome turnaround.
I think it just goes back to, like, it's all a bunch of veterans that kind of came together, got the bag, but that didn't, like, they put that behind them and just wanted to go win. You can tell just from those locker room celebrations and everything that all of those guys in that clubhouse legitimately like each other.
Yes.
And I feel like that's a big thing in sports where it's like, you might seem like all these teammates like each other, but at the same time, like, they might not. I think all of those Phillies players, Rob Thompson just has them in such good shape. Mm-hmm. Every single, especially now that we're going in the second postseason with them here in October, I think he just has them in good shape. I think they're great. They just have great team chemistry. And it goes back to something that I noticed was, I love how the Phillies, that obviously this is the second postseason that they've been here in a row, they had a rebuild that kind of ended up being failed. And instead of trying to get more prospects to fix their problems, they just decided to say, we're just going to give everyone the bag and try and bring it in here. And look, it's worked out. They're the reigning NL champs. So we'll see what happens again this year, but I really like their odds.
So they're saying, which is funny because Kyle Schwarber is a very, you know, positive and impactful member of the Philadelphia Phillies and famously did this himself the year the Cubs won World Series. They're saying there's a chance, and just a minute chance, that Rhys Hoskins potentially could come back in a World Series run, which would be another solid addition for the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, earlier in the year, Bryce was teaching himself how to play first because he wanted to help the team as much as possible. Obviously, he ended up just still taking to the DH. But I think that'd be pretty awesome, too, and I love stuff like that. And I think it's pretty ironic that it happens to be on the same team as Kyle Schwarber, who came back and had such a great series in the year he did that for the Cubs. Hoskins, who is going to be a free agent, though, probably doesn't want to risk potentially hurting it worse, but that said, it seems like this Phillies team is one that will put it all on the line for each other.
Between the good set of games that these teams played in the regular season and the bad blood from how the season ended for both of these teams last year, and how Atlanta had that early exit, both of these teams have a lot to play for, and it is going to be a very fun matchup to watch for any baseball fan.
I think another series we should probably touch on before we wrap this up is the Orioles and Rangers. I think this is the most flawed series of the bunch.
Really?
because of what you mentioned with the Rangers' back end bullpen, they're good. They're really good. But I also, and then the Orioles on paper are way better. They're hosting a playoff game for the first time in a decade, but they don't have that experience.
And you know who does? Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, they're gonna have to fight.
They're gonna have to face the guy that led the Giants for like three World Series in 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm not used to being able to actually say the correct name of a championship game on air, so I was like, can I say that? Yeah, it's World Series. So, this will also be a good matchup. A team that's been tortured forever, and as a Cardinal fan, they really do deserve some happiness in their lives, and an Orioles team that's also been pretty miserable and in the bottom of the barrel for a long time. It's exciting for both of these teams to be good again.
Ben Okuyu, and you're a self-proclaimed AL Rangers fan. You and I went to a Rangers-Cubs game earlier this year.
Yeah.
And you are a self-proclaimed Texas Ranger fan. You took them all the way to the World Series this year in your bracket prediction. What are your thoughts behind this series? You think they'll make quick work of an inexperienced Orioles team, or you think it'll be a bad fight?
I think it's going to be a dogfight. I just love the two teams. It's the Orioles who have just every prospect seems to have worked out for them, and they're putting it together so early. This team is going to be good for years.
Yeah.
So Baltimore ends up getting knocked out. Baltimore, do not worry. You guys are going to win World Series in the next 5 years, I think. Texas, I love that middle infield with Semien and Seager, and they have rookies all over the place right now. Evan Carter got on base 7 times in that Rays series, which is just absurd because he's a 21-year-old that got thrown into the mix a month ago. You got Josh Young, who is an all-star this year. Jonah Heim behind the plate. And then you got a couple of veterans as well. And just a overall very solid and deep pitching staff that might be getting Max Scherzer back at some point. I know they're trying to test him with bullpens. We'll see what ends up happening with that. But I just like this Texas team. I like how they've played all year, and they've kind of gone through a couple ups and downs, and more of the losses have been because of bullpen woes, as Braden mentioned earlier. But I like Bruce Bochy in October. He's finally back after a couple years away from the game and a couple years managing the Rangers. So I like the Rangers in this one, but I do not want to discredit the Orioles either because they've been great all year.
Diamondbacks hit well against the Brewers. Will it be enough against one of the best contact teams in the MLB in the Dodgers? I see Ben shaking his head. I don't think so. I think this is probably the best bet if you're going to make a bet for just one team to win a series. I bet the Dodgers have this one. You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
You're going Diamondbacks in this one?
I know your reason
Dave
why,
Roberts.
Too. Okay. Man. No, there's another reason why, too, though, that the only thing that can keep the Diamondbacks away from – or the only thing that can keep the Dodgers away from winning the series is that they have such horrific injuries and other things going on with their pitching staff that the only guy that you could really trust right now is Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean they lost Urias now, and like just
Dustin
people
May
that
and
got
Bueller
hurt.
Aren't playing. Bueller,
like, yeah,
don't
like,
forget the Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer Clayton Kershaw has never been all that good in the playoffs either.
No.
He's especially when it gets to the top stage. I mean, this isn't the top stage yet, but yeah, it's gonna fall on him. A player that at one point late last year, you know, 2 years ago, we weren't even sure if he'd continue to be a Dodger. He just keeps signing these one-year contracts, and he's back this year trying to lead a team to potentially a second World Series title. He's been to the World Series as a Dodger how many times? 17, 18, 20, 3, right? Yeah, 3. And so he's trying to make it a fourth appearance and second title, ran into a all-time Astros team and then potentially the best team in the 2010s, second-best team in the 2010s in the Boston Red Sox, 2016 Chicago Cubs. Anyway, they ran into the Red Sox at the end of 2018. They ended up beating the Rays in that COVID year, but do you think a full season ring is what'll take the Dodgers to that next level when you think of a dynasty of the late 2010s and the early 2020s?
The thing about the Dodgers that's weird is majority of that team from 2018 is – what year was it? 2020, excuse me. That majority of that team's gone by now.
Yeah.
Now. A lot of those guys aren't here, so it's more of just how they've been able to – kind of play Texas Rangers, or excuse me, Tampa Bay Rays ball in a way where they kind of plug everyone in while also signing the big free agents,
right?
Like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. So I guess they could be considered a dynasty, but they keep coming up short every year now, and it just kind of feels weird. It feels very similar to Brady in like the early 2010s.
They need another title.
Yeah.
To be considered one of the all-time dynasties of baseball, they need another championship. And especially because almost like another comparison that's similar is the 2015-ish through 19 Cleveland Cavaliers. They went to the championship so many times, but only won the one because they were amazing, but they ran into a better team year in and year out who always had that extra oomph. And for them, that's the Astros. The Astros are have won the division 6 of the last 7 years. They've went to the World Series 2 years in a row. They've went there 4 times in as many years, as many times as the Dodgers. They've won it all twice, and they may very well win it again this year.
This Astros Twins team, there's half of me that feels like the Astros have been injury prone and struggling with injuries to the point that they will not be able to win the series. And the other half of me is thinking we will be looking back on this when the Astros win the World Series, laughing at the idea that we thought that was possible. There's just one of two options here.
The Astros are definitely a team to consider out there in the AL. As I did for my bracket, I said Phillies and Astros. I'm standing by that. We come back on the Red Zone. Colleen Holden joins the show. You're listening to the Red Zone. The fourth studio mic had a blank space next to it, and Colleen Holden joins the show. She provided that pun for me, so I'm not going to take full credit. But I bet you can't guess based on that pun. Do it. Guess upon your wildest dreams what we're going to be talking about today with Colleen here in the studio. That was Ben's pun. I'll think of one of my own eventually. I don't want to completely steal them. But Colleen, you're here to talk to us about something that's raging through the NFL world, through the sports pop culture world as we get into the football half of our show. Unless you've lived under a rock in the last month, you would know that one of the most popular football players in the world, and Travis Kelce, and the one of the most popular women in the world, Taylor Swift, are now officially Romeo and Juliet of two cultures of football and pop and music, and it's butting heads and it's causing drama, and we're all here for it. And Colleen, I want you to tell us from your perspective, as you told us you want to talk about this in the show, the mic is yours. How have you viewed this?
I view this in a plethora of different ways, if we're being honest. The first thing I'm, like, noticing is just, like, I think it's really, I know a lot of people are just, like, hating on the fact that, like, she's just, like, taken over, like, everything, like, NFL. And, like, that's entirely fair. Like, if you're there to watch an NFL game, you're there to watch an NFL game. But what no one's really thinking about is that, like, there's not a whole lot to draw in the casual viewer to the NFL. Like, football has been the same for years and years and years. It will be the same for years and years and years. But to have, like, this brand new pop culture shakeup with the most famous woman in the world, like, you have to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Especially because just, like, she's had such a big year in the music industry with the Eras Tour and now this movie that's coming out, which more on the movie later with the whole trailer debacle with ESPN and Fox and all of them. But it makes a lot of good media sense, which is a take that no one's really taking, but I understand, like, it's a little bit of a tired joke.
Yeah.
Like, people are just going at it, and I get it, it's tired, and if you're not there to see Taylor, you're not there to see Taylor, but, like, if you're someone who's a fan of the NFL and you want to see it grow, like, I wouldn't be hating on this the way that it's been getting hated on.
The intersection of sports and news in this segment is brought to you by Colleen Holden, who produces two news specialty shows here at WZND. So that's why we want to talk about this here today. We haven't really gone into too much detail, and I'm glad we haven't in recent weeks because it's kind of reached a peak this week of the controversy. I don't know why there's so much controversy. Like Colleen pointed out there, I feel like if you want to see it, do it. If you don't want to see it, just enjoy the football game. But it's reaching a point where, and like you brought up there, Colleen, the NFL, in almost a favor, I would say, to both PR sides, is encouraging showing Eras Tour trailers during broadcasts of the NFL this weekend for the movie release of the Eras Tour. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
And two of the networks accepted, and reportedly two of the networks who also show NFL games also declined. They don't want any part of it because they don't want to, I guess they don't want to anger their viewers. I don't know what the thought process is there, but there is drama is forming.
Right, and I think what's going on there is that, like, Taylor has given them so much publicity so that, like, some of them are looking at, like, oh, like, we've gotten a lot from her, like, we'll do her this solid, but then other channels are more like, no, like, she's already, like, very famous, she doesn't need this ad spot, and we can make revenue off of it, is probably where their minds are going. But, no, it's just been, like, this big pop culture, like, the internet exploded, pretty much. Like, I don't think the internet has gone this crazy over something since the whole, like, Titanic thing back in June. Like, the internet's going crazy. And what's really interesting about it, just from a more feminist perspective, because I remember the last time I was on the Red Zone, I talked about, like, women in sports and, like, a little bit of a feminism theme. But so often when you see two famous people dating, it's always, like, the guy is kind of praised for it, and then the girl is like, oh, she's just trying to get clout or whatever, versus, like, Taylor is someone who doesn't need any clout from Travis. She's doing just fine. So to see a relationship that's just, like, viewed like for their virtues, like individually, and not for like what they gain together, and like one person like chasing clout from the other. Like, it's really refreshing to see, like, from a feminist perspective.
It's interesting too that you know, obviously they're not having this relationship just for marketing.
Yeah.
But like, when you have someone that's a part of a football fan base and someone else that's a part of people that love pop culture, it's really like some of the most popular people. Taylor Swift has to be probably the most popular person in pop culture. And Kelsey's a very popular football player in his own right, which is the most popular sport in America. It's a huge crossover of two largely mutually exclusive categories that are meeting, rather than, you know, hey, I like Taylor Swift and I like, you know, football. I mean, there are those people,
yeah,
but it's a lot more of just people that like one or the other, and now they're seeing the two meet and they're learning about the other.
Right.
I will say, you're bringing together two of the most diehard fans in the world. You're bringing NFL
right.
fans and Taylor Swift fans, who are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for me, I think that's hilarious, and it makes it even more interesting. But at the same time, it's going to cause controversy no matter what it is. Because yeah. I don't think, especially NFL fans, because they've been experienced the same thing for so many years, where this is so new and just different, that I don't think people like when they mess with the sports that they've been given for the last 50 plus years.
My take on it is awesome when I think about, or I think it's hilariously awesome, listening to Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey on their podcast discuss the situation. And you have Jason saying, and Travis agreeing, that, yeah, I think the NFL is overdoing it just a little bit. Like, they're just two people in a relationship at the end of the day. They both want to benefit PR. I get it. But I think Jason's quote was something like, I think the NFL wasn't prepared for the stardom side of this. Like, the NBA kind of has it figured out. Like, yeah, like, you know, Jack Nicholson's at the Lakers game. Mm-hmm. Show him on screen for a minute. He'll wave at the camera. But the NFL wasn't prepared to have, you know, what Colleen called, and I agree, one of the most popular women in the world in a skybox 2 weeks in a row in New York and in Kansas City for the Bears blowout. It just the whole thing is just really funny. I think it'll be something funny to look back at. Colleen, I'll take your take on this from a news perspective. Do you think this is going to be a long-term thing? Do you think she's going to continue to go to these games, or is it going to become normal? Like, what's the thought? Like, how much longer can it be, like, the center of attention?
I mean, I think regardless of whether she shows up or not, it's eventually going to fizzle out. It's going to be old news.
Right.
I mean, like, Taylor will always be popular, but, like, you can only, like, beat the dead horse so often to really, like, get your money's worth out of it. I think they're trying to capitalize on it now while it's hot and while she's hot. Versus, like, later on, if they're still together in, like, 5 years and maybe she's, like, taking a break in her career, they can't really capitalize off
right.
of it then.
I want to talk about this here in the last couple minutes of this segment. I apologize, because I know we were going to talk about the whole Taylor Swift thing for this segment, but I wanted to add, just now, Ryan Poles, by the way, for this Bears game, said farewell to Chase Claypool, quote, "I wish him luck," on the radio prior to this Bears game. So he's gone. He's officially gone. Like, there was rumors that he was gone ahead of tonight's game for the Bears, but he's, like, officially gone. They have released him, I'm assuming.
Maybe there's bad blood.
Oh, there definitely is bad blood.
Right, that was good.
What a disappointment. I was so excited for that. Even though I think the price tag was a little too high looking back at it a year ago. If you guys didn't know, I'm a Notre Dame fan. So being able to have Chase Claypool in a Bears uniform, one of my favorite Notre Dame players of all time, was just so cool. And it just ultimately ended up being probably maybe the worst trade in Bears history.
Yeah, I wish we would have had those draft picks.
Yeah,
that's bad. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL before we do our pick six. We'll do our pick six in the next segment, but there is a big game tonight. I want to talk about it now because it is a Bears game. We're going to make our picks next segment, but let's at least acknowledge it. We talked about Dick Butkus. We talked about Chase Claypool. This is the first time the world's going to get to see the primetime Bears in a primetime slot, although because of Taylor Swift, they already were saw by the world a couple weeks ago, and they got blanked. But let's talk about this Bears game tonight. What do we expect?
Very difficult fantasy decisions and very difficult to watch football.
Yeah.
It could be a shootout. I don't know.
I think it will.
I look back
but
to
it's
the,
just questionable.
They had the replay this morning of the Commanders Eagles game, and I was in and out all day, but it was on all day, and I just Commanders are and I said it earlier in the year, I kind of like that the way that they play this year, and they might not have the best defense, and Fields looked good last week, so I'm hoping for a shootout because the primetime game's been really bad to start the year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a gross game when you look at it on paper, but overall I think it could be positive for either team, and obviously we hope it's the Bears.
All right, we haven't really, like, dived into the Bears yet, so I'll take my time here for a second. Every week I just kind of, like, sigh, and I say, like, okay, I guess I'll pick against the Bears. But, like, this is truly disappointing. Like, I've tried to, like, not talk about it because I've tried to, like, not care. But now that the Cubs are already knocked out, I can't focus on anything else and think how much different this could have been. We talk about the Claypool thing. That shouldn't have happened. We talk about how they hired Eberflus. That shouldn't have happened. There's tons of things that could have set the Bears up with a terribly easy schedule this year to win way more games. I mean, Ben and I were looking over the schedule before the show started. It's insane. The next 5 weeks, you're playing a bunch of other lower than 500 teams. They could have been so good record-wise. They could have squeaked out a lot of victories. Instead, they're eyeing down 0-5 if they lose tonight on national TV.
Yeah, and after last year, I feel like 3-13, I've never seen Bears fans more united and happy after getting the first overall pick because of what happened after that. You get more draft capital. You get DJ Moore, a true number one wide receiver for Justin Fields, which is still true to this day. But it's just there's no other words to put other than disappointment, because it's all on the coaching at the end of the day. And there's obviously other problems as well. You can look at the offense, you can look at the play calling, you can look at the defense. But at the end of the day, the coaching has been horrific and has led to majority of the losses. They don't have that locker room in sync at all, and I just think it's just a bad situation overall.
The rumors say that if they lose tonight, the Bears would consider the first ever midseason firing for a coach. Do you think that's happening this early on in the season or ever? Midseason, or are they going to at least let Eberflus ride it out?
They haven't won in almost a year. He needs to be fired if they lose tonight. They have not won in almost a year.
Colleen or Braden, from a non-Bears fan side, like me and Ben being complete homers?
I hope people have fun tonight. And I hope they enjoy their time.
Yeah, I hope everyone on the field just has a great time out there, really plays their heart out. No, but seriously, as someone who's, like, born and raised Chicagoan,
yeah,
it's kind of heartbreaking to see that, like, the Bears just cannot win to save their lives. So hopefully, I mean, if a midseason, like, coach swap out is what they need, then a midseason coach swap out is what they need.
I think so, and they need to swallow their pride and do it, even though they've never done it in Bears history. They are the only professional sports franchise to have not won a single game since Elon Musk bought Twitter and changed it to X.
And that was the only thing that's been more mishandled than the Bears in the past year.
That's a good way to wrap it up. We'll go into Pick 6 in the next segment. You're listening to The Red Zone. And there's the funky music for the final segment of The Red Zone. Braden Fogerson, Ben Hootie, Mikey Frenelli, joined by news superstar Colleen Holden. And the guest so far this season in the guest spot has done a really solid job, second in our power rankings for Pick'em. Ben, thank you for pulling up the numbers so I can tell you. Steve Cease, still a solid 19-5. In order to lose that spot, he's going to need a real messed up week. The guest, 15-9 on the season. It's been Ben Howell, Scott Beaton, now Colleen Holden. We had America do the guest picks. We had Julian Voss. We had the America do the guest picks one time, meaning literally just who was favored. That's probably why the guest is winning. And then it was me at 13-11, Ben at 12-12, Berger Ferguson 11-13. Hey, we've all kind of came out of the gutter a little bit. We were all pretty good below 500 last week. We all had a decent week last week. Yeah. We'll move on to this week's Pick 6 games. We'll start with tonight's game since we just talked about the Bears at the end of the last segment. I'll let Colleen go first as the guest.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a born and raised Chicagoan, and it pains me to not root for the Bears, but, like, how could you not pick the Commanders on this one?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Steve went with the Commanders. Ben, I want to hear your pick.
Yeah, I was going to go with the Bears. I've been flipping back and forth with this one. I was going to pick the Bears after I heard about the tragic passing of Dick Butkus, but then I heard that his pick for today's game was, in fact, the Commanders. The Bears, there is nothing good about them. I said it in the last segment that it's just a bad start, and yeah, I'm going to take the Commanders. I saw the shootout against the Eagles. That's all I had to see. I liked the Commanders this week.
Burger Ferguson.
You know, you could say Bears are going to win for butt kiss, but you know what I say? I say Eberflus is going to get fired for butt kiss. And so I'm taking the Commanders.
I'm too much of a homer. I should do this whole pick in the like Bill Swirsky superfans voice, just so people know that I'm just too much of a Bears homer. I have not picked the Bears since week one. Let the record show. I have not picked the Bears since week one. I fully was ready to pick the Commanders here on the show. And then I follow Dick Butkus on Instagram. I always love seeing his
picked him against the Bucks.
Oh, I did pick him against the Bucks? Okay, fine. I picked against him the last 2 weeks. Thank you for the fact check, Twitter. But anyway, I always follow Dick Butkus on Instagram. I saw his picks today. He passed away. I always like to look at his picks. One thing about the robot of destruction or whatever. One thing about Dick Butkus, he always had a great sense of humor. But he always was a homer last year. And when the Bears were trying to lose, at the end of his picks, he would still put Da Bears. He would put the city name and the name for every other team. He'd say Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, Da Bears. And so this season, he has not done so. Since week one, he has been picking against the Bears. And so I say respectfully to an NFL legend, he's up somewhere. He's going to be smiling tonight because the Bears are finally going to prove him wrong this year. If there's ever been a time to root for the Bears this season, they have to win. They have to win, right? They can't lose every game this season.
I don't know.
They have to win at least one or two. So why not tonight?
If RoboCop can't pick his own team, I don't know if they're ever going to make it.
He picked against them. And rest his soul. RoboCop is wild, considering the man died today. But no, he just didn't know the nickname. But
that's so sick.
RoboCop would have been cool.
That was so sick.
That would have been ahead of its time.
Bills?
Yeah, let's move on. I'm going. Yeah, bottom line, I'm going Bears. Jags and Bills. Ben, start us off.
I was talking to Braden before we came in here. I feel like the Bills do this song and dance with us every single year.
No one circles the wagons.
Exactly. Every single time, it's like, oh, they're out. They're not that good. Okay, they're actually really good. I'm going to do it here. I like the Jags, but I'm going to take the Bills. I think they're really hot right now. I think they're going to take that momentum against Jacksonville in London Town.
Yeah, they're still in London Town. Yeah. Is there a Toy Story broadcast this week or no?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, or what about like a Bugs Life broadcast? That'd be pretty sick. Like,
wait, out of all the movies you could have mentioned,
half the other Pixar movies you cannot convert to a football game. You can't convert cars to a football game.
Wait, did you?
Josh Allen drops downfield. He dinks it off a car.
How can you convert Toy Story into a football game?
Because they have hands.
It's Disney. They can do anything they want.
The cars don't have hands.
But the cars do have like their big races. You can translate the race scores to football stuff.
This is true. Sorry, not to get off topic, but did you see the TikTok of like the highlights from the Toy Story?
Yeah.
Just like set to the like rap music that like actual like jacked.
The best part of the
Toy Story. Bijan
Robinson Toy Story.
The best part of the Toy Story game, bar none, was Slinky Dog as the first down marker. That was insane. That was awesome. He would stretch. He would like back up for penalties. And he would stretch. It was awesome. We need him at more games. Okay. Ben just keeps looking at the computer like, we got to get through these picks.
No. I didn't mean to pull it towards. I was going to.
We got to get through. You're right. We got to get through. Steve went the Bills. I'm going with the Bills and the Incredibles broadcast on Disney Plus. Colleen, what are you doing?
So I don't know a ton about football, if it wasn't very obvious from my rant about Taylor Swift. But ESPN told me to go for the Bills. And also shout out News and Sports Newbie Luke Bentley, who was in the office and like looking at my picks like, yeah, this makes sense. I just wanted an outside opinion, but Luke Bentley, ESPN, and I are all going Bills.
That's a huge three to concur on a pick. Are you going to go against that?
I completely agree with Ben. Everything that Ben said, just double that.
Throw him in. So it's Luke Bentley, ESPN, you, and Braden Fogerson, and all of us. So so the Jacksonville Jaguars better not win. Did you say Jaguars?
No.
Ben typed the Jaguars. I thought you said Bills.
You did say the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying before the show that you were
I was tempted, but I was still saying like I don't
actually.
Well,
Dick Butkus picked the Bills.
We've got four more games.
Dick Butkus.
Yeah, he did. Texans and Falcons. Let's see. This is a tough one.
You want me to go first?
I'm going to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been picking the Texans like smoothly, like in my confidence pool, even though we never really picked the Texans for pick six. And they're always good for like a good 4 points. Stroud looks pretty good. Not going to overthink it. Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Texans, 3-2 starts pretty crazy after thinking that they were going to be one of the favorites for the number one pick yet again. So Stroud looks really good. I mean, he's about to break a record for most passes without an interception to start a career. So give me the Texans. I like their start. Let's keep going.
Colleen?
I'm going to go with Falcons on this one, not just because of ESPN and Bentley. but I also, I'm just not a fan of Texas altogether. Okay. I feel like if we didn't have Florida, they would be the Florida of the states.
Spoken like our news producer. Braden?
As someone that went to Texas this year and went to Houston, I love Houston. I love the city. And I think the Texans are going to win. I think Energy Stadium's cool. I drove by it. It's where the greatest football game ever played was, in Mikey's opinion, for number 51.
Yeah,
I think the Texans are really good this year, and pretty much their whole offense is startable on fantasy. So,
after an abysmal start, the Minnesota Vikings were able to shake it off last week and get their first win. They go to face the Kansas City Chiefs this week. That one was mine, by the way. But anyway, we are going to continue with the pick six for the Chiefs and the Vikings. I think it's got to be cut and dry. Steve went the Chiefs. Why not keep the red train rolling for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I agree with you. Chiefs all the way. I feel bad. I don't feel bad for the Vikings, but I kind of do because they've gotten a really rough start to their schedule.
They got a first-place schedule.
Just the Chiefs are just way better than them, even though they played really close with the Jets on Sunday Night Football. But yeah, give me the Chiefs. They're going to take care of business, and Vikings are going to start 1-4, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Colleen?
Yeah, I would have gone with the Chiefs even if they weren't like doing well just because of Taylor, but like looking on ESPN, like they were doing pretty well. Like I don't know what the technical terms are, but like just looking at their stats and stuff, like it was looking pretty good for them.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Obviously, they coming off a victory last year in the biggest game of them all, and except for that one weird week one loss to a good Lions team, they've pretty much been unstoppable the last couple weeks. Yeah. Braden? Oh no,
dastardly Chiefs! I'll pick them. Okay. Just not happy about it.
You gave me a look when I said they've been pretty unstoppable, and I said Braden, and then you gave me a look like you were going to pick the Vikings.
I feel like eventually they have to lose. I just don't feel like it's the Vikings.
No, it's not. Cowboys and 49ers. See, if the Cowboys wouldn't have lost to the Cardinals, I'd consider this one a little bit closer. But I'm still considering it, though.
Really good, though.
I'm still considering it, though. I'm going to let somebody else go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
If you have listened to the show every week, you know my feelings about the Niners. They are playing the best football in the entire NFL. Brock Purdy is more than advertised at this point. He's the next Tom Brady, I fear. Give me the Niners. The Cowboys, they're a good team. They're a really good team, I think. I think last week was kind of a fluke against Arizona. I think this is going to be a really great game. Great game for Sunday Night Football, but I still like the Niners over the Cowboys.
Colleen?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners on this one, too. Luke Bentley was very excited when I said that I was going with the Niners. So, I mean, shout out him again. But, no, just looking on ESPN, they were also looking pretty solid.
Yeah, Ben's testimony kind of just convinced me. I was debating it, but the Cowboys' defense looked so bad last week with recent injuries. I'm going to go. I don't think it's going to be a easy road to beat one of the best teams in the league. So I'm going Niners.
In the words of Carrie Underwood, I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. And I've been waiting to see the Cowboys lose in prime time again.
How many points are on the board as we get into the next one? We've had a couple sweeps already.
You got the Commanders, a couple mixed. It's pretty much a split for the Texans-Falcons, Chiefs sweep, Niners sweep, and now I think this one will be a coin flip for the most part.
The Bills swept too, so there's only three points in play, and basically I'm the only one that took the Bears. So there's not much versatility when it comes to picks. Yeah, that would be big. That'd be good because it's close towards the bottom of the pack. I mean, no one can touch Steve yet. That's the thing. If we want Steve, like, we need to all start picking upsets because if we want Steve to fall, he needs to have, like, a terrible week. And so if we all keep picking the same as Steve.
I've been picking a lot of upsets, and I've been the one having the terrible week. So.
Well, it's because Steve had 2 6-0 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Absolutely impressive. A historical start. Maybe the best in pick six history. All right, we get into the last game here. Uh-oh, Ben changed the tab
Packers
on his computer.
Raiders.
Packers and Raiders.
On Monday Night Football.
Thank you, Ben. Ben picks our games, and I didn't see which one it was for the last one. Monday Night Football, Green Bay, and the Raiders. Oh, my God, that's a terrible game.
Yucky.
I guess Green Bay, because I'm not going to. Well, it's Monday Night Football.
I thought you were going to say.
Even in the most ideal situation. Like, how is that a good game for
I'm
Monday
not
Night
going
Football?
To pick Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm literally not. I mean, I might pick him to throw three picks, but like, I'm not going to pick Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I don't want to pick the Packers either, not only because I don't like them, but because they're not good either. But I guess the Packers. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the Packers too at they're not at Lambeau Field. Okay.
Allegiant Stadium.
You know what? I like the start Jordan Love has had so far. He looks really good. That offense looks really good overall. I think it's been a couple just unlucky plays that have gone their way for a 2-2 start. I'm going to take the Packers in this one. I think the Raiders are they're not looking too good right now, Brayden.
They're actually not that good at football.
Yeah.
Colleen?
As a diehard Chicagoan, I cannot in good conscience pick the Packers
Respect.
On anything. Also, I can't just go with a safe bet every single time. We got to shake it up a little bit, so I'm going Raiders on this one.
Was that another pun?
Come on, Brayden. Pick
him. So Garoppolo's in the final stages of a concussion protocol, so we missed practice today, and Max Crosby has knee problems. Devontae Adams didn't practice because he had a shoulder injury. It's looking real, real rough for the Raiders. And so I just can't pick them this week.
Have you picked them at all yet this year?
I have not.
And they've been in a lot of primetime games.
I watched the team enough to know not to pick them.
I respect that.
This was a really tough one to pick, though, because I'm
like... Yeah. 1-3 right now?
Well, I will say, if AOC starts...
They
are 1-3. If AOC starts, he was awful last week, so...
Wait, what?
Aiden
O'Connell. That's our number four.
You can't. All right, we're gonna have to clarify which AOC.
AOC is like, Aiden O'Connell.
Okay. Purdue legend.
Okay.
Legend Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, okay. Because I saw Colleen's face too, and I started laughing. I was just
Congresswoman.
Yeah, I was about to say. I mean, she's young. She's in good health. She could replace Jimmy Garoppolo.
How's her knee?
If you have a heartbeat and you can throw a football, you're better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Why are you guys ripping on him? He's an Illinois guy.
Well, I'm from the general
Multiple
area.
Time
so the
champion.
Proud son of the Northwest suburbs, Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, the only other multi-time champion in the NFL except for Patrick Mahomes. And CBS didn't even say so. They just said it was Mahomes. You have to give Jimmy his respect.
I think he's only got one, though.
No, he has two. He won two with the Patriots as a backup. Yeah, he did. He did.
I'm
he
fact
did.
Checking.
No, you know, fact check it on Twitter after the show. Thanks for listening to The Red Zone. I'm Mikey Fornelli.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson with now drives inside. Going to find Mary Crompton for her first three of the day. And it's good.
Curry owned the league last year.
Oh,
and
sure.
Personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
Agreed, have good fun.
All right, I've never done a postscript to Red Zone before, but Ben was wrong. Jimmy's 1-2. Have a good night. For Braden Fogers and Ben Hootie, Colleen Holden, I'm Mikey Fornelli.